blood and water. Blood and water. When I say blood, what do you think of first off? You probably think of the crucifixion. You probably think of Jesus bleeding. You probably think of the sanctifying blood of Jesus. And when I say water, maybe you think of tap water. Maybe you think of a lake. Maybe you think of you know, a glass of water. Or maybe you go into Scripture and you think of living water when Jesus is at the well and he says to the woman at the well that I'm going to give you water that will never, ever run out. And she looks astounded because she has to go to the well every day to get water. And if I could just have water that would never run out. We did a thing once with our youth and we learned about, in some of the Middle Eastern countries, a woman might spend 6 hours, 8 hours to walk to get water, and then another 6 hours to get back into her village. It would take all morning into the night, and the jug of water would be like 50 pounds. And we're not talking about walking on cement or anything. We're talking about walking over rough terrain. This reporter went with her and was astounded because, first of all, this reporter couldn't even put this thing on her shoulder at 50 pounds and walk 5 steps, much less hours. Water is precious. Without water, all bets are off. We had a thing called Everything is Spiritual, and it shows all these parameters that have to be in place for life to be here on earth. And the other thing is, did you know that you are made of water? That water is one of the main elements of everything. Water and blood. So John is going to go there today. But why? Well, why is he talking about water and blood? Why does he keep coming back to this thing about Jesus and about Jesus being born of the flesh? Why is that so important?
And there's also baptized water.
And there's baptized water. Thank you, Jan. When we are baptized with the water. There's also water when they pierce Jesus with the spear. So when there's all these theologians and they're coming up with all these theories of what in the world is John talking about? Remember, there's these Gnostics. There's these people, doubt, who want to instill doubt into the people of God. And to this day, we still have people who have doubt, who want to instill doubt into the people of God. So in 1 John, he is combating these Gnostics who want to say that Jesus was not human, that Jesus was just spiritual. He didn't have any human component. But God says differently, and we're going to talk about that. Why is it so important that Jesus is of the flesh? Because when he died, he would save us from our sins. Because as flesh, he can also relate and walk our walk. Man, he's been there and done that. And whatever suffering, whatever prayers, whatever praises we have, nothing compares to what he went through on that cross. He understands pain. He understands us because he is us. God created a miracle. First of all, God created a miracle. Every one of us in this room is a miracle. Every little baby, how many of you have held a baby? Is that a miracle? You know, when they're squirming in your arms, and Mary always talks about the little toes and the little fingers, and then it gets to be bigger fingers and bigger toes, and we watch them grow, and before you long, and it doesn't take too long. Before long, they're fully grown, and they're having their own little babies. And God has continued this process throughout all of our lives. And so Jesus, when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Jesus incarnate. God incarnate, meaning God in the flesh. And John makes no bones about it, that this is important. Let's get into it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. You know, truth. Truth is so elusive. I swear, in my life, I just want truth. Can I get an amen? I just want to know what's true. You know, and in these days, it's getting crazier than ever. And it's getting more diabolical than ever, I will tell you right now. With AI and stuff telling you things, and it sounds really good. It sounds really plausible. Like, yeah, this is all the logic. And it even correct itself, and it even apologize to you. It'll do anything you want. The computer will do anything you want to make sure that you're appeased so you come back for more information. This is the world we are living in right now, where truth is up for grabs. And the only real truth we have is in the Word.
Brother Brandon, always telling him he's going to come and see him, and he doesn't. And Pete Prince told him, I ain't got time for your lies.
Lies. Yeah. Lies. Lies are of the enemy. So when these Gnostics are coming in, they're telling lies. They're telling lies about Jesus. And John wants to set the record straight. Jesus is flesh. This is the one who came by water and blood. Blood is obviously human. Blood is obviously flowing in our veins. Blood is, you know, where I take this, like there's all these different ideas about what John is talking about here. Is he talking about the sacraments? Is he talking about the baptism of water and the Holy Communion of taking the body and the blood? Yes, he is talking about that. Is he talking about when the spear goes into Jesus' side and water and blood comes out? He witnessed that. Is he talking about, you know, the sanctifying blood like David was talking about, and the sacrificial blood? He's talking about the crucifixion. He's talking about all of this, but listen to what it says. This is the one who came by water and blood. Who came by water and blood. What that means is this is the one born of water and blood. This is the one created of water and blood. Water is the eternal water, the Holy Spirit water, the living water, and the blood is the blood that is flowing through our veins. This is the one who is human, fully human, and fully God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. We have to pause there. In this world, we need truth. In this world, we need hope. In this world, we need life. In this world, we need some sacrifice. In this world, we need some eternal hope of salvation. In this world, we need Jesus. God has given us Jesus to fulfill all that and more. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. So we're speaking truth here. The Spirit is speaking the Word of God. And so the water is the Spirit of God in Jesus. The blood is the flesh. For there are three that testify, three witnesses. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. I had my friend here the other week, and boy, she just did such a great job. That when Jennifer was here, I don't know how many of you got to see Jennifer, but Jennifer talked about us being in agreement. I loved her message. I listened to it. I wasn't here, and I was in Ireland at the time, but I listened to it either when I got back or when I was there. And she talked about being in agreement. It's important that we are in agreement with the right people or the right sources. It's important that we are in agreement with God. It's important that we are not in agreement with the enemy who is lying to us. It's important that we are in agreement with ourselves and with God. The three testify. the water, the spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three are in agreement. They're in agreement about what? Let's continue. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his son. So basically, what God says is true, right? And whatever God says goes, right?
And God don't lie.
And God don't lie, right? And God is talking to us about his son. The most major subject he could ever talk to us about. Continuing. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his son. Can you imagine calling God a liar? You know, who are we to call God a liar, right? I mean, to me, that is the ultimate blasphemy. Saying to God that you're lying to me. When lying is the trick of who?
The
enemy. And so we're literally saying, it sounds very close to that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit to me. We're literally saying that this is not God speaking, this is the enemy speaking, that God, you're the enemy. We're walking in some very dangerous territory there. God does not lie. God tells truth. Jesus is the truth. And so we got, and now, and God has a testimony about his son. We should listen. Our ears should perk up a little bit. You know, my dog, Duggan, I don't know how he does this, man, but when I'm talking to him, like if I say food or walk or something, his ears perk up. I don't know, where do you get the muscles to do that? You know, he can even perk up one ear. Like if he's turned this way, I'll perk up this one. Your ears should be perking up right now. Maybe they can't move like Duggan, but your ears should be perking up right now. When I say Jesus, we should be astounded. Like when I said when we were praising and I saw that bright star and it's blazing. It's just astounding looking at that, even in my own vision and my imagination. But when we say Jesus, our imagination should start moving. Who is he? Where is he? Where did he come from? What's he doing? He's in me? He's in you? He's over everything? When we hear the word Jesus, the name Jesus, God is testifying, the Holy Spirit is testifying about Jesus. We have a thing on Monday night where we have to do a memory verse. And so our last two verses here, are our memory verse. Mary Ann will know this. Mary knows this. Anyone on Monday night will know this. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is God's truth. This is God's testimony. What in the world does that have to do with water and blood? Jesus, fully human. Jesus, fully spirit. Remember what we talked about last week? Who's got the power? We say Jesus has got the power, but that's not what the scripture says. The scripture said, whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God has the power. Jesus, who is fully human, Jesus, who is fully spirit, gives us that power, and he makes us we're already fully human, but he also makes us fully spiritual. We have the Holy Spirit of God in us. We are kindred spirits with Jesus. We have the same qualities of Jesus, not in the full level of Jesus, but we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. I swear, if we could only wrap our minds around that alone, that the Holy Spirit of God resides in me. I think we see things a little bit differently. I think we see ourselves a little differently. I think we see the church a little differently. I think we see our neighbor a little differently. And we have that capability already in us. Jesus has given us that in the water and the blood. In the blood, he has sanctified us. He has purified us. You know, my newest thing is I am completely pure. Now, you might find some flaws in my behavior. You might even see me slip up. You might even see me do some things that are unbecoming of a preacher. But I'm still pure. I'm still pure no matter what I do. How crazy is that? I'm still pure no matter what I've done. Because I am purified by the sanctifying blood, the blood and the water, the blood of Jesus, and I have that eternal water that never runs out, that woman at the well was just dying to get, I have that as well. I have eternity. Look what it says. And this is the testimony. And this testimony, by the way, is coming from God. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life, you know, when we praise and we sing that praise song and we talk about life, and look, Jesus is life. I can feel it flowing in me. I can see it. It's this abundant life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Not just life eternal, mind you, life now. Life now and into the future, life connected with God. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That ought to make us pause. That ought to make us stop and think about anybody who has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That ought to make us think about the entire world. That ought to make us a little more anxious to have a conversation or two. Whoever has the Son has life. You have life. Abundant life. Perfect, pure, sanctified life. You have water and blood. You have this blood running over you, sanctifying you, purifying you. You have communion which connects you. You have all of that. What a blessing. You have life. And you have life into eternity. Relationship with God now and forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, however long that is. But whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That ought to make us sad. That ought to make us think twice. That ought to make us a little more bold. And I'm not saying you're not bold enough. You guys are bold. But be bolder. And I'm not saying you're not talking to people. I'm saying talk to more. I'm saying whoever does not have Jesus does not have life. Not me. John's saying this. And John's not saying it. This is the testimony of God. We should walk out here today feeling really good. We have life. We should walk out of here today a little distressed. There are many who don't have life. Let us pray. Dear Father God, We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our gift. We thank you, dear Holy Spirit, that you impart the knowledge of that gift every minute of every day. We ask, Lord, that we can have the privilege to share this gift of life that someone else may accept. We're not in control if they accept. We are in control if we offer. May we offer the gift of life. Just like we offer the gift of a kidney or a liver or a blood transfusion, just like we can offer physically parts of ourselves to save another, may we offer a part of ourselves, our spiritual self, to help save another. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are life. Amen. I told you guys before about that assignment. I haven't had anybody come back to me yet. I want you to evaluate your life, every aspect of your life, and write it on a piece of paper. How you doing? How you doing with your relationships? How you doing with your family? How you doing with your finances? How you doing with your work? How you doing with your friends? How you doing? And after you write it all down, it'll take about a half a page or so, I imagine. And then I want you to go to God and I want you to ask him, how am I doing? And I want you to compare. And I want you to believe him. I think you're in for an awakening. Find out what God is in agreement about you. Do the assignment. We'll talk about it. Believe God. Believe God about his Son. Believe God about yourself. Believe God what he's doing. Believe God about healing. Believe God. It's easy to believe. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we believe in you. Dear Father God, we believe in your Son, our Lord Jesus, dear Father God, we believe in the Holy Spirit who is in us. Dear Father God, we believe you. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing week as you believe all that God has in store for you. Amen.